88. You must bring them out and let them fly toward the same direction that your people have gone. The feathers of those birds will be used for making payos of all kinds by your people. The two children went up to the house as they were directed, and to their surprise they found some odd-looking birds with no feathers on their heads, and the ends of their tail feathers were still covered with the foam from the water, which had turned them white, and away over in one corner there sat still another bird looking somewhat the same as the others, but the ends of his tail feathers were not white. After letting these birds down from their roosts they spoke to the children, saying, "We all thank you, Tewahongva and Taiisnima, for we are the innocent elderly people. We could not swim and so here we had turned into birds and we are now the turkeys, and from now on our feathers will be helpful to your people for making prayer offerings to the gods." "And I am the buzzard," said the other strange bird, "and with my feathers, after all the sacred ceremonies the members will be disharmed and they will also be used for disharming the sick and evil among all the people. And again we all thank you for letting us down and out, so here we go, and goodbye." As they flew away the buzzard went up and circled around overhead four times to disharm the ruined town, then he followed the rest of the birds away toward the northeast. After the birds were gone Tewahongva and his sister went back to Siwiistewa. "Now," he said to them, "you go up to the west corner and up at the very top floor. You will find some sweet cornmeal and some piki and also a small robe and gourd to carry your water in. Bundle all that up in the little robe and come back here to me." So they went up there and got what was there. When they came back again, the serpent said to them, "Now you are ready to go. And if you catch up with your people tell them that I, Siwiistewa, am now a supernatural being and have power and will do anything for the people in the way of prosperity. I can send them rain and in fact, anything like that will be yours for the asking, so tell them to make payos for me and set them out anywhere toward this direction, but remember, they must call me by name at the very top of their voices that I may hear and know. Now, like this, Siwiistewa, here I have made payos for you. We know and remember your message of promise which was sent to us by Tewahongva and Taiisnima, so please fulfill now your promise of sending us rain for the benefit of our crops and the people, and so forth. Then the payos and the message will always be received." 89. "Now, I warn you not to look back till you get away over on the other side of the hill. If you do, something might happen to you, so be sure to remember not to look back. Farewell. Take good care of your sister." Tewahongva and his sister then started out on their long journey and they didn't know where they were going but they were traveling on their way. Being so young, it was hard for them to travel, especially for the little sister, so Tewahongva would carry her on his back a while and then let her down again and they would go on like that all day. It was still daylight in the evening when they decided to make camp and were just about opening their bundle of lunch when they heard a loud roaring noise overhead and they were very much frightened and wondered what it could be. Tewahongva held his sister tightly to his breast, and behold, someone had descended from the heavens all clothed in a glittering costume of ice that sparkled like silver and his head and face shone like a star. He spoke to them and said, "Do not fear, I am Sotokeunangwai, the heavenly God, and because of the sympathy I have for you I have come to help you, so come get on this shield, Yovoda, of mine and let us be on the way." When they had climbed onto the shield, up they went into the heavens. The two children had their eyes closed all the way up, until they got there and when they opened their eyes they could see for many miles and everything was grand. "Now," said Sotokeunangwai, "I know you are tired and hungry, so you may now eat, and he cut up a nice ripe muskmelon and set it before them, and they ate very delightedly. When the darkness had covered the earth again, this god said to them, "Look to the far north and you will see firelight. There is where your people are now. It does not look so very far away, but that is many, many days' journey, and you are too young and do not know that this is a big undertaking for you. For this reason, I went to get you and brought you up here, because I know you are too young. But you must understand me, and I know you will. I am the wisdom and knowledge, and above all else you must have faith in me. Faith and trust, honesty and truth. Without faith you shall know nothing. If you have faith, your prayers for your people will always be answered, and from now on my teachings will come to you in dreams, and there will be more and more as you grow older." The next morning Sotokeonangwai had made everything ready for them to take along upon their journey, seeds of all kinds for the coming season. 90. Said he, "When the spring comes, the warm weather, these seeds you will broadcast outside around the village, and they will grow and bear fruit that everybody may eat, and they may save the seeds for their own use. Be like the others, play like the other children, but always together. When you catch up and get to your people, they will not know you. They have already given you up and have forgotten all about you. Look carefully among them. Your father has a mole under his eye on the right side of his face, and your mother has a bunch of gray hair in front on the left side of her head. By these marks you will recognize your own father and mother, and you will run to them. These seeds and other things which I have placed in this bundle of your robe must never be handled by anyone, especially this little tipuni emblem, which needs your particular care. It is this tipuni that you will always set up when you perform my ceremony for the benefit of your people. Now let us be on the way. I will take you close up to your people, that you may camp just for one night. Then in the morning, after all the meal is over, you will be there. They have got their town built now, so you will go straight into the plaza." The two children had a grand ride on Yovoda, Shield, and were landed just about a quarter of a day's trip from the town. So Sotokeonangwai then said farewell to them and went back up into the heavens. The next day Tewahongva and his sister walked into the plaza of the new town. There they stopped, and the people stared at them and wondered who they were and where they had come from, so they notified the crier to call out and let the people know, so that they would come to the plaza to see that somebody had come. When the people came, they surrounded them. Then Chief Tewahongva came forward with a heavy heart of sympathy, "Now, you my people," he said, "is there anyone here that remembers or could recognize these children and tell us who they are and whom they belong to? Is there any parent here that had forgotten or had given them up as dead at the time of the flood, back down at Palat Kapi? They must belong to somebody. Who shall claim them? If nobody will, I will now leave it up to them and see if they themselves remember and can recognize their own father and mother. Now look carefully among us and see if you know anyone or remember anybody." So the brother and sister looked for the mole on the faces of the men and for the gray hair on the women, by which they were to detect their parents, and all at once they recognized them, and with tears in their eyes they ran up to their parents, saying, "You are my father and you are my mother. We are your son and daughter. My name is Tewahongva and mine is Taiyaisnima. My dear children," cried their parents with tears, and they caught hold of them and held them close to their breasts, which of course struck the hearts of all the people, and the whole town cried for joy. 91. They were taken to the home of their parents with their little bundle of sacred things, and of this they warned them that they must never touch it or open it. 2. Be sure of safekeeping, they took it away into the back room and hung it up in the corner. Thereafter they lived very happily with their parents and the rest of the people. Day after day the wisdom and knowledge was coming to them clearer and clearer, so that when the spring came and the days got warmer they did everything that Sotoke Unangwai had told them to do. They broadcast the seeds, and on them it rained and rained. Then the sun came out and shone brightly on them and heated them and caused them to germinate, and in a few days the little plants sprang up. While these Nasawam, brother and sister, would play around with the rest of the children, they were always telling them not to pull up the plants, for they would bear fruit for the people. And every few days it would rain, which kept the plants growing quite fast, and all about the town it was all green. Soon the people were noticing the blossoms beginning to bloom on these plants of many kinds, and having all these fruitful plants around them they were very happy, and when these were ripe and mature everything was plentiful, and the people gathered them all in. They lived there happily for a number of years, but as they were really heading for Sitoki they decided to move on, and so again they were on the long journey, and ahead of them they would always send their scouts, men who were good runners and whose duty it was to look for new sites.